in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Spirit of wisdom, let there be a release of the breath of the Spirit of wisdom upon you this evening. Can you go ahead and just talk to the Lord? Kilabako shalamande keprekete. The Bible says there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration, the breath of the Almighty, and the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. The breath of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Kapate kepura kapatai. It's a school of wisdom. School of wisdom for wealth and abundance. Mande kebo shalabakatai. Ronde ke prendo boko sabalatiza. Kapatika prende ke porakata. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He said that God will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets. Manda bako sebeleteya. Divine insight into mysteries and secrets concerning finances, concerning wealth and abundance, insight into mysteries and secrets. Mande kebo silaka barakatai. Embreketoska palatiza. Manda barosko prakatizka. Shabalaka bakataka prakatai. Cry out for an outpouring of the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom for all round prosperity. Wisdom for total prosperity. Wisdom for financial dominion. Wisdom for financial abundance. Aporasila prandeke parakatai. Eleke bokotoko borabalakataka brakatai. Ilabako shalabarakatai. In the name of Jesus. Listen, there is a voice behind the voice of the preacher. It's called the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the God that sent the messenger. It says the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. You see, as you listen to the word of God, as you listen to the teachings and the preaching, as the word is being ministered, he said the voice of the Lord is upon the waters of the world. You are going to cry out, Father, give me grace for sensitivity. The grace to hear your voice that is behind your word that the preacher is preaching. Because in this service, some of you will receive ideas that will turn you to billionaires and millionaires in no time. In this service, you will receive divine inspiration. In this service, the secrets of wealth and abundance, the code will be cracked. The code for kingdom wealth, the secrets for financial dominion,
the secret that will put you in command of kingdom wealth and abundance. I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Father, I receive grace to be sensitive, to hear what you are saying, to see what you are showing me. Grace for divine sensitivity. Grant me a seeing eye. Grant me a hearing ear. Anoint my eyes with eye salves that I may see. Apaleko baraka patai. Let the spirit of wisdom speak to me tonight. Are you praying? Manda kabarude kebreketos. Balatose bente kila batatai. Erude kebranda kabarakatai. Ila rabarondo so brekete kebarakatai. Esepeketo kobrakatila borakidas. Mande breketos kabalatia. Shabalata sabalatana. Ora babababababosh. Kila prande keposka palatana. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, our hearts and mind are open to receive your word. Speak to us in ways we will understand. Grant us a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and a wise and understanding heart. Baptize us afresh with the spirit of wisdom, the wisdom for wealth and abundance. And let there be diverse impartations of your spirit. Thank you, Father. You will confirm your word with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands, O ye people. Clap your hands, O ye people. I say, clap your hands, O ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. You might be seated in God's presence. Help me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say, welcome to School of Wisdom. And this time around is wisdom for wealth and abundance. You know, we've been exploring the treasures of God's wisdom. We've been looking at the theme, what wisdom is this? And last week's Sunday was very explosive. How many of you were blessed by last week's Sunday? Wisdom for relationship and marriage seminar. How many of you were blessed? Hallelujah. We've received glorious testimonies even from people that followed online and people that listened to the messages. Hallelujah. Very powerful. Both the teaching session and the question and answer session. Hallelujah. One more time, can we appreciate our resource persons? Reverend Dr. David Shalkur and Pastor Mrs. Bestie Shalkur. Celebrate them. And then Pastor Mrs. Ini Davis. Celebrate them. They were a blessing to us last week. Hallelujah. Praise God. I say praise God. Ah, sir, why is Dr. David there? Please bring him. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So much wisdom was dished out. Please get the message, including the question and answer session. Have we uploaded the question and answer session on our Telegram channel? Please, let's do so. Please get it. If you've not joined the Telegram channel, just make sure you do. You'll be richly blessed. Glory to God. Wisdom for abundance. And also, I said all the Fridays, I will be also teaching along that line. I've been doing that. How many of you were here on Friday? Very powerful time we had. Okay, so all Sundays and Fridays, wisdom. Because this is a very, you see, the more I studied on wisdom, I realized how important it is. And that is why I said I will take this the teaching series, not just on Sunday,
even though Sundays we already have designated topic for each. Like last week Sunday was wisdom for abundance. Last week Sunday was wisdom for relationship and marriage. This one is wisdom for wealth and abundance. Next week Sunday is wisdom for mighty works. But every Friday we'll still continue the teaching series, What Wisdom Is This? Hallelujah. Because listen, this is your set time to walk in wisdom. By the time we are done with this teaching series this month, you will be immersed in the school of wisdom. As in, you will see yourself functioning in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God will pilot your affairs and establish you in the realms of success and surpassing greatness in the name of Jesus. So please don't play with what we are teaching. Don't joke with it. In fact, if I were you, beyond just hearing during service, I will get all the messages and sit with them. I will camp with them. I will listen to them. I will prayerfully listen to them. I'll go through all those scriptures. Am I communicating? Wisdom is so, so critical. Mark 6 verse 2. Mark 6 verse 2. Mark chapter 6 verse 2. Hallelujah. The Bible talked about Jesus. He went to his own hometown and entered church, the synagogue. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence are this man these things? Remember, Jesus did not attend secular school. Neither did he attend Bible school. He didn't attend any theological seminary. Now, all those things are not bad. They are good, okay? It's good to go to school, secular school, primary, secondary, university, all of that. But I made a very profound statement one of these Fridays. I say, as good as education is, it is not the most important thing in life. If not, Jesus will have gone to secular school. I'm not discouraging you, because some of you are even about to write exam. Please go to school. But never make the mistake to think that school is the most important thing in life. No, it is not. If it was, Jesus would have gone to school. Am I communicating? The wisdom of God is much more important than secular education. And guess what? You cannot get the wisdom of God through secular education. That's not how it comes. Secular education can give you human wisdom or the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God does not come by schooling. It's not found within the four walls of the university. Yet the Bible declares that wisdom is the principal thing, is the most important thing. Am I communicating? Look at Jesus. He was not teaching like the Pharisees. He was not teaching like the scribes. His teaching was different. Why? Because he was operating and functioning with the superior wisdom of God. You know, everybody teaches according to their level, the kind of wisdom they operate with. Hope you know. Every man speaks according to his wisdom. Everybody teaches, even writing. Am I communicating? These are all ways by which people express their wisdom. Glory to God. You know, Apostle Peter talked about Apostle Paul. He said, according to the grace that God gave him, he wrote those epistles. There was a dimension of wisdom that God gave to Apostle Paul that powered the epistle he wrote. Am I communicating? Everybody writes according to their level of wisdom. Everybody speaks and teach according to their level of wisdom. Everybody thinks, everybody acts according to the wisdom they are operating with. Look at Jesus. As he was teaching, the people noticed there was a difference between his own message and the regular conventional message of the scribes and the other teachers of the law that they knew. They were astonished. They were dumbfounded. They were flabbergasted. They were surprised and shocked. Look at what they said. As they listened to Jesus, they said, whence are this man these things?
they were sure he didn't get it from school or seminary or theology, because he didn't attend any of them. So where did he get it? Is it his father that taught him? It cannot be Joseph the carpenter. Am I communicating? They say, where did he get it from? And I answered that question. I say, he got it from the spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit taught him those things because he's the spirit of wisdom. He said, whence are this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works? Somebody say mighty works. You see, the wisdom of God is not only expressed in mighty words. It is expressed in what? Mighty works. So it's not only in wise quotes and wise sayings. If you read concerning Solomon, the Bible says he spoke 1,000 proverbs. 3,000 proverbs. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. He wrote 1,005 songs. Now, before Solomon did all of that, he manifested wisdom in mighty works. Am I communicating? He says, what wisdom is it that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? The spirit of wisdom will empower you to do mighty works. Is the producer of mighty works. The spirit of wisdom is what begets mighty work. Is the mother of mighty works. You want to do exploit? He said wisdom is the key. Supernatural, it will bet supernatural accomplishment. You want to do financial exploit like Solomon? He said wisdom is the key. That even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Say with me, in the name of Jesus. My head is anointed by the spirit of wisdom. Therefore, my hands are empowered to produce, to wrought mighty works. In your business, mighty works. In your career, mighty works. Mighty works. Outstanding accomplishment. Record-breaking results. The type of result that command global attention. That command the attention of kings and nobles. These are the things that the spirit of wisdom does. Am I communicating? Malako sefeletenas. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get what? Wisdom. And with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Proverbs 4 verse 3. You will see where King David taught his son Solomon. He taught him that wisdom is the most important thing in life. If he wants to be a successful king, if he wants to rule, if he wants to be a great king, David taught his son Solomon to go for wisdom. So he knew that wisdom is all he needed to succeed as a king. He said, my father taught me. Look at it. I was my father's son. He's talking of the adopted son, because Solomon, David had many other sons. Am I communicating? I was my father's. Now the concept of the adopted son is a son that has been specially raised and trained to be the heir apparent to the throne. So the one to succeed the father, because all of them cannot rule. Am I communicating? All of the king's sons cannot be the next king. It has to be only one. So that particular one that the king, when he is alive, the one he has chosen to succeed him, the heir apparent to the throne, there are some special training they give that particular son, because he's going to succeed the father. Okay? There's a way kings are trained. There's a way kings are raised. So that's the concept of the adopted son. That was what Solomon was saying here. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. Next verse, he said, he taught me also, his father taught him. The wisdom that a parent give to his or her to their children, the wisdom parents transmit to their children is more important than money, is more important than the wealth and riches and material possession they give them. If you bequeath your inheritance to your children, no matter how wealthy you are, if you don't give them wisdom, what do you think will happen? Your guess is as good as mine. They will waste it. They will squander the wealth. They will abuse it. And they end up losing it. It's just a matter of time. Everything will be gone. So before you give people physical inheritance in form of houses, cars, riches, companies, money and wealth, make sure you have bequeathed wisdom to them. Because it is that wisdom that will help them sustain the wealth and even escalate, increase it. Am I communicating? This is why sometimes people that become wealthy or rich by inheriting wealth from their parents, this is why they find it hard to sustain the wealth. This is why many of them lose it. Are you getting me? Because they lack the financial wisdom. The financial intelligence is not there. The parents didn't transmit it to them. They only transmitted the riches and all of that. And those guys, they will start making wrong investment decisions. Before you know, they lose money. Before you know, they start abusing it, misusing it, wastage here and there. But that was not how their parent got the wealth. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, before you bequeath physical inheritance to your children, because you are going to be very rich and wealthy. I'm speaking prophetically now. Because some of you, as I say, tell this person, you are wondering in your mind, is it the 250 kobo in my account that I will give them? Me that I don't even have land car. Calm down, calm down. There is more to you than meet the eyes. I'm speaking prophetically to the real you that is going to be very rich and wealthy. Am I communicating? Hey, I tell your neighbor with confidence. Say, before you bequeath physical inheritance to your children, make sure you have transmitted wisdom to them. Yeah, my father is part of parenting. My father taught me. Solomon knew his priorities in life because his father correctly trained him. Am I communicating? He said to me also, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandment, just keep moving and live. Get wisdom, you see. His father taught him, he said, get wisdom, okay? And get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Next verse. It says, forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Next verse. Wisdom is the principal thing. Surprise, surprise, right? Have you heard some people say money is the most important thing in this life? Have you heard some people say that statement? And they mean it. So, but hustle, hustle, hustle. Money, make money. Money is the most important thing in this life. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. When you have wisdom, wisdom will command wealth and riches. Wealth and riches will become like slaves. They cannot but come. They must come. Am I communicating? Wisdom will make you a commander of money, material wealth, resources, unimaginable resources. Yeah, wisdom. That was why when God appeared to Solomon in the dream of the night, after he offered on in that Gibeon, he offered 1,000 burnt offering. God was impressed. Okay, he sacrificed to God 1,000 burnt offering. And God showed up in the night. in honor of his love-motivated giving and sacrifice. God showed up. He said, Solomon, you have touched my heart. He said, what do you want? Ask me anything. God gave Solomon a blank check. And Solomon said, God, you have put me on the throne by your grace and mercy to succeed my father. You have helped my father, and now you have put me to succeed him. He said, give me wisdom, a wise and understanding heart, so that I will be able to govern this your people. He said, who will be able to govern this large number of Israelites without wisdom? And the Bible said, the speech pleased the Lord. And God said, I have given you wisdom. He said, you didn't even ask for riches, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for the death of your enemy. You didn't ask for any of those things. You asked for wisdom. God said, I give you wisdom. He said, even the one you did not ask, riches, honor, long life, length of days, enemy, all of that, victory over your enemy, he said, I've given them to you. Am I communicating? Because Solomon was correctly taught by his father that if he can get wisdom, all these other things that will follow, they are like paraphernalias. Let me ask you a question. When you buy a brand new phone, do you pay separate money for the charger? The charger is what? It's Folocom. Three of us, it's Folocom. If you buy a pen, do you have to pay separate money for the cover? Somebody say Folocom. The main thing is wisdom. Riches and wealth is Folocom. They follow wisdom. Am I communicating? See, if you will invest more time in studies, in meditation, in prayerful search, and all of that, if you invest more time and energy in looking for wisdom, to find wisdom, I'm telling you, you will have more than enough money and resources than you can ever imagine. This energy you are using to pursue money, please redirect it. Start chasing wisdom with the same passion, with the same zeal, and see whether you will not have more than enough money. It becomes a question of when, not if. Am I communicating? Because wealth must necessarily follow wisdom. Ask Solomon. In the days of Solomon, who was richer than him? I was even doing a little research. I was trying to check the wealth of Solomon. If you are to, in today's world, as in 21st century, okay, in our own day, okay, what is the wealth of Solomon? And I saw a staggering amount, $2.1 trillion. That if Solomon was to live in our day, it would be worth $2.1 trillion. Who is the world's richest man now? What is his net worth according to Forbes? Is he up to $1 trillion? There is no... Listen, on Forbes' list, hallelujah, please celebrate Reverend Dr. Victor Ghana. Praise God. All the way from UK. Sit down. You're welcome, sir. Now, if you are to estimate the wealth of Solomon in today's money, is $2.1 trillion, not billion, $1 trillion, not Nigerian naira, $1 trillion. And the same person wrote a book called Proverbs, and he's telling you wisdom is the principal. Wait. If the world's all these world riches, some of you are even reading books by people, all these motivational speaker online, telling you how to make money. Now, look at Solomon. He wrote a book. It's Proverbs. And some of you are not reading it. You are not even taking those things serious. He's telling you that wisdom is the principal thing. He's telling you this is how he made his money. Therefore, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Bishop Oyedepo said he prayed and fasted, he said, for 26 months. His prayer point was only one thing: God, give me wisdom. Because he knew that if God will release that dimension of wisdom, he must be successful and great in life and ministry. That's to tell you how important wisdom is. 26 months. That's 2 years. How many months? Am I communicating? Kenneth Hagin said he read Ephesians 1:17. He prayed that prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:17 for the church at Ephesus. He prayed it for himself. He said that God will grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. He prayed that prayer for himself. He said after some month, I've forgotten how many months, is it 6 months or so? He said his eyes opened. The way he started accessing revelation from God's word, even his teaching ministry shifted to another level. Somebody say wisdom. Fire. Don't leave your house every day without praying for wisdom. You cannot live a successful life, whether it is financial success or success in your business, your career, your job, even your academics. You can't be successful until you walk in wisdom. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Amplified Version puts that last part. It says you'll be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. To enjoy good success, you must be able to deal wisely. So it's a function of wisdom. To succeed in business, in your career, in your job, in your family life, your marriage. No wonder wisdom is always crying at the gate. If you read the book of Proverbs, wisdom is always crying because human beings, they are not listening to the voice of wisdom. Wisdom is watching how we dismay. How human beings keep making wrong decisions. Human beings keep doing foolish things. Wisdom is shouting, hear my voice and succeed in life. He said, wisdom crieth without. At the government house, wisdom is crying, you know, so that leaders will listen. You can see how Nigeria economy is because of what? Bankruptcy of what? Leadership wisdom by those in power keep making wrong decision that is making Naira to drown. Nosedive. Are you seeing something? You understand? Losing value. How leaders need wisdom. No wonder throughout the Bible, wisdom is a major requirement in choosing leaders, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Non-negotiable requirement. Leadership involves a lot of wisdom because, listen, in leadership, you have to be making a lot of decisions. And wise decision is a function of wisdom. You must be correctly guided by the wisdom of God to make even to appoint the right people. Am I communicating? One of the deeds of wisdom we looked at on Friday during Throne of Grace Encounter Service, one of the number one deed of wisdom is what? Discernment and what? Sound judgment. In making decision, discernment and sound judgment. You even need wisdom to relate with people because you don't know what is in people's heart. Discernment. Wisdom will give you discernment. You'll be able to discern people. So married people, the person you are relating with is the one secretly killing your marriage, you don't know. And you are sharing your marital problem with the very root cause of the problem. And then the person will say, oh, hey, yeah, ha, how can your husband do you like this? Hey, which kind of man be that one? And then the person will now go behind your back. Say, did you hear what this person said? You need discernment. You need discernment. Even in making friends, in choosing friends. Somebody say wisdom. Politics and governance. the two people, two solid models in scriptures that excelled in the mountain of government and politics, Joseph and Daniel. What was their secret winning card? Wisdom. Wisdom. Is it in business? You need wisdom. Even to know who to do business with. Because there are people that they keep doing business with partners that keep defrauding them. You don't have discernment. Am I communicating? Allow the wisdom of God guide you. Very, very important. David taught Solomon that wisdom is the most important thing, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, with all your degrees, with all your certificate, degree certificate. There are people certificate holders bankrupt of wisdom. No wonder they are frustrated in life. The number one cause of failure is lack of wisdom. It's not lack of university degree, as good as education is.
Yes, sir.
Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
You can carry your pali trek until your shoe is looking like which one now? Laughing like this. If you lack wisdom, life will beat you blue and black. It takes wisdom to tame life. Am I communicating? By the wisdom of God, you can tame life. Wisdom will teach you what to do and tell you what to do when others don't know what to do. You can't be stranded with the wisdom of God. You can't. Imagine, Jesus was in the wilderness after a massive three-day crusade. Eh? The people have been with him for 3 days. And he said, Kai, I won't just release. They've received the spiritual word, the spiritual food of God's word. I won't just leave them fasting. He said, they will faint on the road. Imagine you are in a meeting for 3 days. Some people say we preach for too long. Jesus, they camp for 3 days. In the wilderness, there is no place to buy kunu or buy snacks and eat or food. Some of you, festival of fire, you just sneak and go and buy something and eat. They might get energy. These ones were 3 days in the wilderness. 3 days. Am I communicating? We've not started meeting, so 3 days. We won't hold it where you will get what to eat. We'll take you to an island where there is inside the sea. An island that is inside the sea. No place to buy anything. Compulsory fasting. 3 days, so Jesus said, give them something to eat so that they will not faint. He had finished the crusade. And then Philip that said, what? He said, Master, there is no supermarket here. Oh. There is no ShopRite. There is no Terminus Market. He said, how can we even get what to feed them with? Are you seeing something? He said, what we have is not enough to buy bread for each of them to just have one bite. So it's not enough. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, this he asked. Jesus asked to prove them or to test them or to try them. For he himself knew what he would do. How did he know what to do when others don't know what to do? How did Jesus know what to do in order to solve this financial crisis or economic condition? How did he know what to do to solve this problem of hunger and food scarcity? No, not even food scarcity, lack of food. How did he know what to do? He himself knew what he will do. The spirit of wisdom taught him what to do. He knew. I always tell people, when you know what to do in any situation, you will never be afraid of that situation. entering into problems coming to you is not as important as knowing what to do. When you know what to do to come out of every problem, will you be afraid of the problem? Wisdom gives you solution. The wisdom of God is problem solving, is solution providing. So you are not afraid of problems. You are not afraid of problems. Am I communicating? He knew what to do. Jesus knew there is a young lad in that crowd that had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. He knew that that boy was there. The spirit of wisdom taught him. And then he knew, the spirit of wisdom told him how to multiply it by giving God thanks. He knew that thanksgiving is a supernatural multiplier. Anything you thank God for genuinely cannot finish. He knew. He himself knew what to do. Not complain. Not murmur. Not grumble. Give God thanks. You are trusting God for 10 million. God gave you 10,000. Don't say, what is this among so many? You know, there are many of you like that. You despise it. Yeah, what's 10,000? Somebody, they look for 10 million. What if it's 10,000? You have already disqualified yourself for the balance.
Wow.
God brought the 10,000 to test you, to see whether you will thank him. And the where your thanksgiving stop is where your resources stop coming. And it's not God's fault. You want more, thank him for the one you have now. Some of you keep complaining about your husband or your wife, and you are comparing your husband or your wife to other people. It's because you are not living with those people. You are not living with them.
Wow.
You are only seeing them when they come outside. You don't know. They say the person who wear shoe, now you know where the thing they pinch. Abi? You better appreciate your husband or your wife. Oh. Thank God for them. Oh. Nobody is better than your husband. Nobody is better than your wife. Am I communicating? Thank God for what you have. Yes, the person may not be perfect. You, are you perfect? You that is complaining. Are you perfect? Praise God. Somebody say wisdom. See, a lot of crisis in marriage, the solution is wisdom. Wisdom. For instance, husband and wife, I hear this toothpaste has caused divorce. Toothpaste, oh, common toothpaste. That the husband like to press it from the up. The wife prefer pressing from down. So that simple issue, kata-kata, quarrel and fight until the divorce. Is it necessary? If one person like pressing up, the other buy 2 toothpaste. 2 or 3 or 4. You collect your own. Press it from anywhere. Simple wisdom will solve the problem. Am I communicating? A lot of quarrels in marriage is because of lack of wisdom. They are fighting over TV remote. The wife says she prefers African Magic. She wants to watch Telemundo. She wants to watch Zero. The man says, me, I want to watch Premier League. I want to watch, you know, football. Men and football. You understand? Before you know, they've started fighting. Then the son says, me, it's cartoon. Disney World. 3 fighting now. Somebody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Buy another TV. Put it in the bedroom. You watch whatever you want to watch. Put another one in the chair. Put another one for the children room. Am I communicating? Somebody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
God, what brought me here? Oh, God will help me today. I have not even started my message. He said he himself knew what he would do. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, I receive wisdom to always know what to do in every crisis situation. I refuse to be stranded. I refuse to be confused. Hallelujah. Your days of confusion are over.
You will never be confused again. In the name of Jesus. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 3, watch this, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. That means wisdom is key to happiness. You know how much people are looking for happiness? If they are selling happiness in Terminus Market, the kind of queue you will see. People are looking for how to be happy. Some are looking for who will make them happy. Oh man, there is this mad craze in search for happiness. The Bible says when you get wisdom, wisdom will make you happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. The gain thereof than fine gold. That's to show you wisdom is more important than money. Because wisdom can buy money, money cannot buy wisdom. Praise God. He says she is more precious than rubies. All things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom is priceless. Wisdom is incomparable to anything else. Length of days is in her right hand. Wisdom will give you long life. Some people have died young and died prematurely because of lack of wisdom. When you drive on Nigerian road, you will understand what I'm saying. A lot of accidents is due to foolishness. Foolish driving. Boom! You understand? Lack of wisdom. And you know Nigerians, they don't obey traffic rules, though. Except there is soldier with gun on the road. Even with soldier and police with gun, some of them still break the rule. Are you getting me? Better UK, where Dr. Ghana is coming from. At least those people, they obey rules. Nigeria, and they don't like you overtaking them, Nigerians. Very competitive people. Spirit of competition. You see somebody going gently, but the moment you pass the person, once the person sight you coming, the person will increase his speed. He must not pass me. Bible says, our ways, length of days is in the right hand of wisdom. In our left hand, what? Riches and honor. Are you looking for long life? Are you looking for riches and honor? Wisdom say, I'm in possession of them all. Praise God. Then Proverbs 8, we are looking at wisdom for wealth and abundance. Proverbs 8, verse what? Verse 18. Okay, 17. Watch this. Everything is just beautiful. 15. Wisdom speaking, he said, by me kings reign. Do you want to reign as a king in your area of calling? Whether it's academic king or economic, financial king or king in the business world or king in the mountain of politics and governance, he said you need wisdom. Media kings, you need wisdom. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes, rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall what? Find me. Riches and honor are with me. Did you hear that? Wisdom speaking, he said, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable or sustainable riches and what? Righteousness. It's only the wisdom of God that can give you riches and righteousness. You know, there are many ways to make money and become rich. But if you want to become rich God's way, the kingdom way, you need the wisdom of God, okay? And by this way, you can be rich and righteous. Satan cannot make people rich and righteous. Impossible. The wisdom of this world cannot make people rich and righteous. No. It's only the wisdom of God that can give you riches and righteousness. Am I communicating? So you can be rich and righteous. Let me tell anybody, you can be rich and righteous. Okay? You can be rich and holy.
Okay? Prosperity is combinable with purity. Prosperity and plenty can be combined with purity and holiness. Am I communicating? My fruit, verse 19, is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. Okay? And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to what? Inherit what? Substance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give me 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 22. Look at Solomon. Hi. The dimension of wealth and abundance Solomon had. Kai. Monde kibaya. Libo raska palatia. It will make you hate poverty. Just read this. Solomon's provision for one day, not for 1 year, not wedding, not village people's meeting, not festival. Solomon's provision for one day, let's analyze his provision for one day, was what? 30 measures of fine flour. 30, how much flour do you need to make bread? Is it 30 measures of fine flour? Just provision for one day. 80 measures of meal. Next verse. 10 fat oxen. This is what is slaughtered in one day in one man's house. 20 oxen of the pastures and 100 sheep. All these things, oh, provision for one day. Don't forget to provision for what? One day. 100 sheep. Eh? Beside hogs and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. All these things, one day.
Wow.
Not Christmas. That people contribute money to buy cow. They will now share. They will share the cow. Everybody's name is like this. They will put paper. You, this is your own. One cow, you will see like 20 people or 30 people contribute money and share it. They, we are told that somebody is provision for one day. Somebody say abundance. See, you need to renew your mind. Stop thinking of I, me, and myself. Think in terms of being a global blessing. Do you know how many lives and destinies you will touch with abundant resources? Are you getting me? Think beyond yourself. Abraham had 318 trained servants in his house. Trained servant too. Not to talk of the untrained servant. And you know, the untrained are more than the trained. Because unskillful labor are more than skillful labor. The trained are like the skillful laborers. He's feeding them, catering for their welfare, paying their children's school fees. Ah, you will put people on scholarships.
Amen.
You will feed nations.
Amen.
You will be the one to solve the global food crisis.
Amen.
God will give you wisdom that will produce abundant wealth and resources.
Amen.
That will bail nations and government from economic crisis, hunger and famine. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Abraham did it. Abraham was feeding multitude in his con, as in 318 trained servants. Look at Solomon. You think he's the only one eating all these things? He had large crowd of people he's feeding and helping. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Next verse. Think in terms of abundance. Think in terms of being a blessing to the kingdom of God, to the church of Jesus, to the world of humanity, to suffering humanity, to the poor and needy. Think in terms of what? Being a blessing. Let your vision be big. Have a big vision of being a blessing. See, the size of your vision determines the flow of resources God can entrust to you. So stop complaining that your portion is small. How large is your vision? Remember the miracle of multiplying oil, that widow that met Elisha. The oil ceased flowing by the time she no longer had any vessel that was empty. The size of the vision determines the flow of resources. Water will always take the shape of the container. The container you bring determines how much God can fill. Are you getting the point? The container is like the vision. What is your visionary capacity? See beyond yourself. Have you wrote down how many churches you will build for Jesus with your money? Have you wrote down how many crusades you will sponsor for Jesus if he tarries? Think big. Have a big vision. I told you people of the story of a young lady in her 20s or so that made a covenant and vowed that she wants to build how many churches for God? Over 100. 100, right? I told you guys that story. 100 churches. That was her vision before she is 30. And guess what? She was a business person into real estate. She was in real estate. God gave her the resources. And she built 100 churches for Jesus before she was 30. Today, she's a billionaire, as I talk to you right now. She's a billionaire. She has houses in Lekki, houses in Banana Island. Don't be thinking small. All this I, me, and myself thinking is survivor mode. Switch from survivor mode. I've taught you before, you are not the needy, you are the needed. We are not the needy ones. We are the needed ones to salvage the world of the needy.
Yes, sir.
You are the helper of the needy.
Yes, sir.
You are not the needy, you are blessed. And God told Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Am I communicating? Everybody has something to give. Think in terms of being a blessing. Hallelujah. Enlarge your visionary capacity. For Solomon had dominion. Wisdom is key to dominion. Whether it is financial dominion or dominion in terms of kingship and all of that, he says he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tipsha even to Hazar. Over all the kings on this side of the river, he had peace on all sides. Peace round about. Solomon was a Jebota king. He didn't know how war field looked like, because he never went for one. He didn't fight any battle. Wisdom will make some battles unnecessary. All this one, you're always Chinese in demons at night. Go get wisdom to minimize your warfare. Am I communicating? David, his father, was a war general by excellence. Wisdom can give you victory, but there is a higher dimension. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, because wisdom itself is the most important weapon of war. And once you have it, it makes some war unnecessary. Solomon enjoyed peace on all sides. He didn't fight any battle, though. Next verse. Aya, Keto Balatia. Next verse. Judah and Israel dwell safely. Every man under his vine and under the fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Next verse. So there were no enemy invasion. There was nobody disturbing them. Solomon had what? 40,000 stalls of what? Horses. Hey! 40,000! Did you see that? Okay, let me help your life. It might interest you to know that in terms of transportation in the days of Solomon, the fastest means of transportation was through horses. As in, if somebody wants to go anywhere, the fastest means of transportation is through horses. What is the equivalent in our day if Solomon was to live in our day? So, okay, let's read it this way. Solomon had 40,000 jets. Is he bringing it home? 40 what? If you read later, you realize, you will discover he even built a city for the drivers of the jets. As in, jet driver's city. That is where they live. They have their city. Not estate, their city. What a man. Bible says God gave him largeness of heart. He was not thinking like normal human beings. No. Something happened to his mindset. God gave him phronesis. Hi. 40,000 stalls of houses and chariots, 12,000 horsemen. His own pilot. How many pilots? 12,000. Next verse. Hi, some of you, we have airline companies. So,
amen.
Hi, he says these officers provided victual for King Solomon and for all that came onto King's table. Every man in his month, they lacked nothing. They lacked nothing. He was feeding multitudes, thousands of people, and the Bible said they lacked how many things?
Nothing.
Wisdom will eliminate lack. I say wisdom will eliminate lack.
Yeah.
Next verse. Barley also and straw for horses, dromedaries brought they unto the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. Next verse. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart. Glory to God. Even as sand that is on the seashore. Next verse. And Solomon's wisdom carried first, excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country. And by the way, the east is known for wisdom. Not just human wisdom, occultic wisdom. When Jesus was born, those wise men, those astrologer priests, where did they come from? From the east. They read the zodiac, astrology, saw his star, they saw greatness. They came. But the Bible says the wisdom of Solomon excelled, exceeded, outclassed the wisdom of the children of the east country. And all the wisdom of Egypt. Egypt too is known for wisdom, including occultic wisdom. Am I communicating? Remember Moses? He was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. He was schooled. Moses attended the best schools in Egypt. Civilization began from Egypt. Hope you know. He went to the Harvards of their day, the best. But beyond that, he was also schooled in occultic wisdom, magic, jazz, otumokpo, dark hearts. That was before Moses encountered Jehovah. That time he was being raised as Prince Moses. They schooled him in all this. They schooled him because he was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh. Am I communicating? That was before he ran. Have you heard of the 6th and 7th book of Moses? Don't read it though. It's an occultic book. People use it. All these people that do jazz. Occultic people, incantation and all of that. They use the 6th and 7th book of Moses. It's not part of the books of the Bible. Let me tell you when it is believed Moses wrote those books. Moses wrote those books when he was Prince Moses in Egypt, before he ran away and later encountered Jehovah. It was those things they taught him. Remember, he was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. And the wisdom of Egypt included occultic wisdom, magic and all those things. So Moses wrote those books from his knowledge that he was schooled with. Are you getting the point? He had not met God then. So in the Bible, how many books did Moses write? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, only five. So some people now bring those writings of Prince Moses before he met Jehovah when he was in Egypt. They now titled it the sixth and seventh book of Moses. Some gullible Christians have read it and applied, and before you know, they opened themselves up to demons. They say, after all, no be Moses write them. Fa fa fa. Foul. Don't read it. Moses wrote it before he met God. Am I communicating? He didn't know God when he wrote those things. He was only transmitting occultic wisdom that he learned. So Solomon's wisdom excelled all the wisdom of the children of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. Next verse. He was wiser than all men. Hi! Than Ethan the Ezraite, Eman and Chalcol, and Dadal the sons of Mahol. His fame was in all nations. Wisdom will give you influence. Wisdom will give you fame, visibility. His fame was in all nations. Wisdom is key to global influence, global impact. Praise God. All nations round about. Next verse. And he spake 3,000 proverbs. We are reading some of the proverbs today. And his songs were 1,005. You remember Song of Solomon? Song of Songs? That's the most romantic part of the Bible. You mustn't learn romance from Telemundo and ZWorld. All those Korean guys. Read Song of Solomon. You will see romance there. Praise God. Next verse. Everything is fully covered in the Bible. You know, there are some people that say, hey, if we don't learn from the people of the world, how are we going to learn romance? Who told you it's not in the Bible? There is romance in the Bible. Read Songs of Solomon.
Yes, sir.
Even some expression. Go and see. Is it her nose is high? Go and see. Go and see lines. You people will not tempt me. Let me face my message. Go and see lines. The people of the learning, oh, they are still learning. Solomon was a very romantic lover. Go and see what he wrote. He said, he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. Kai, this guy did not study botany. He didn't have BSc or masters in botany or plant science, but yet, look at wisdom teaching about trees. Trees. He spake also of beasts. He didn't study animal science. No wildlife science. Wisdom taught him of fowl, of creeping things, of fishes. It was Solomon that told us about the ant. He said, go to the ant, ye sluggard, and learn her ways. Consider her ways and be wise. She has no leader, no sergeant major, no drill commandant. Yet, they provide the meat in the summer. The wisdom of an ant. He could draw wisdom almost from anything. Hi. It's a programming. Somebody say phronesis. He was functioning with the highest kind of wisdom. Solomon can just stand in front of a tree and wisdom will start teaching him about the tree. Hi. Your days of foolishness are over.
Amen.
You will know what to do and how to do it and when to do it to get the desired result. Listen to this. Finding, functioning, and flowing with the wisdom of God is the master key to kingdom wealth and abundance. Wisdom empowers you for a life of financial dominion and ceaseless flow of abundant blessings. God has a clear and definite plan for the finances of his children. But we can only activate and actualize this plan
by operating with the wisdom of God. Praise God. You can also define wisdom. I know I've given several definitions, those that have been following our teaching. You can also define wisdom as understanding and walking in God's ways and will. Wisdom is understanding and walking in God's ways and His will. So God has a perfect plan for your finances. And how do you assess it? By the wisdom of God. How do you activate it? By the wisdom of God. How do you actualize that plan? By the wisdom of God. Listen to this. Against religious tradition or religious beliefs about money, listen to this. It is God's perfect will for His children to be rich, wealthy, and live a life of abundance. It is God's perfect will. Listen, there is nothing wrong with money. You know, many people have misquoted 1 Timothy 6 that says the love of money is the root of all evil. This is how many Christians quote it, especially the religious one, and those that have been religiously brainwashed. They will say, even Bible says money is the root of all evil. Is that what the Bible says? Oh, it's an abuse of scriptures. The Bible says the love of money, that love there changes the whole thing. Because God doesn't want you to love money. You should love God, love the people of God, love God's kingdom. You don't love money and things. Your heart is to love God. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind. So the Bible says once you start loving money, you are under the grip of Mammon. I will tell you about Mammon later. Praise God. Mammonas. Mammonas has brought you under bondage already. Okay? Money is neutral. Money is amoral. Money is neutral and amoral. Listen, money takes after the person that is in possession of it. So if a good person is in possession of money, he will use it for good deeds, as in being a blessing, helping others, give towards God's kingdom and all of that, sponsor the gospel. But money in the hand of a wicked and evil person will perform evil deeds. All these terrorists, Boko Haram, all these terrorists, the weapons they are using, is it not with money they are purchasing it? Is the money fulfilling God's will? No. And guess what? Let me surprise you. The way we know your true character is when you have money. When it comes to money matter. You know, some people say, no go there. No go there. Oh, you see, my eye is red when it comes to money matters. No, you are only telling us that your true character is revealed when money is involved. Praise God. You know people's true character based on how they relate with money. Nothing reveals people's character like money. Yes. Nothing reveals people's character like money. Because money reveals the true color of your heart. Whether some people it is green, some is black like charcoal. Some people is white. Some are red. Money reveals the true color of people's heart. Money helps people to express who they are on the inside that poverty has deprived expression for long. That's one of the problems with poverty. It deprives people self-expression. You don't really know who people are. You think it's only rich men that cheat on their wife. Some poor people, inside their heart, they are already cheating on their wife. They are only waiting for the money to express it. The poverty is depriving them the physical adultery that they will have done. So they can only commit it only in their heart. They just see one fine woman passing. Hey! In their mind, they've slept with her. They've already lusted and
committed adultery in their heart. But lack of ego makes it impossible to translate it into the physical. Do you think, is it cheap to commit some kind of sin? To lodge a world-class prostitute in a hotel, Sheraton, Transcorp? Can a poor man do that? Do you know how much is one night? So some sins are too expensive for some poor people to commit. So they can only commit it in their heart. That's why we don't trust your holiness until money comes. He said, never trust the holiness of a poor man. Wait until he has plenty of money. Praise God. So money reveals people's true character. You see somebody that is always gentle, even in church. Oh, Jesus, I love you. But what's money? Ah! You touch my money. The person will suddenly become loud and vocal. Say, I thought you were quiet. Say, ah, not be when, not until you touch my money. Are you getting me? Praise God. So I say money is neutral. See, it takes after the person that is in possession of it. That's how it is. It takes after the character and the content of the heart of its possessor, whether good or bad. If God give you 20 billion naira now, what will you use it for? 20 billion naira. Some people are already smiling. 20 billion now. Some of you, it will be the last time we see you in church. It will be the last time. And then the next time they call you, your leader call you, say, we've not been seeing you. You say, excuse me. You are calling me mister. Don't you know I'm chief? If I, you will have gone to collect chieftaincy title first. So please address me by my title. Do you think it's easy to collect that title? Chief Odogu Miri Drodro. The first. Because you were the first to collect that title in your village. You will not think of kingdom, or you will not think of God. You know, you just... Am I communicating? Please. You need to define your priorities. Okay? He says, seek first what? The kingdom. So it is not money that is the root of all evil. Don't allow anybody to confuse you. It is what? The love. And the Greek word love there is not agape. It's not agape love. Eros. Eros. That's, this person is passionately, romantically in love with money. As an inordinate desire. Give me an amplified. As in desperate, is like a passionate longing. And guess what? This love of money is proudly sponsored by Mammon. And guess what? No matter how much this person acquires that loves money, the person will never be satisfied. That's one thing Mammon does. The person is greedily longing, pursuing, acquire, accumulate, get more. But Mammon takes away from them the satisfaction that comes from getting more. So it's like a merry-go-round. You know this kind of play children do, merry-go-round. Because the Bible says, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loves gold will not be satisfied with gold. The love of money, no matter how much. That's why you see some of these Nigerian politicians, they keep stealing money, stealing billions. They are, you will sit down and say, just give me 1/10 of what they have stolen, self, I'm okay for life. Why can't this person be satisfied? He's still stealing. It's because of this problem, the love of money. It never satisfies. It doesn't matter how much they get. It is not given to them. The spirit of Mammon, that's what it does. No contentment. Meanwhile, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. How much will you eat in your lifetime? Somebody is stealing 500 billion. What do you want? Only him. And yet he's looking for more to steal. And his shouting is not enough. No satisfaction. No contentment. It says lust. You see the meaning of that love? The love there, Eros, is talking of lust. Lust. Lust for money. And guess what? Lust never satisfies. It's a similar principle. Whether it is lust for money or lust for sex, any kind of lust, financial lust, sexual lust. That's why pornographic industry, they are making multiple billions. It's a multi-billion dollar company, destroying people's lives and destinies, scattering marriages. They don't care. In fact, they are part of the people fueling human trafficking, because a lot of ladies get missing. They kidnap them, they steal them, they trade them, and then they use them as sex slaves in the pornographic industry. Force them to do all manner of things. What does pornography sell? It is lust. Sexual lust. And guess what? It never satisfies. That's why people have to keep watching again and again and again. And they are very smart. They will first give you free. Free one watch. They understand how it works. They know that you can never be satisfied with watching only that one. So by the time they tantalize the person, they will now tell you to get more. You have to register and pay so amount of dollars. What they sell is lust. And lust never satisfies. Lust never satisfies. True love satisfies, but lust never. That's why their victim will keep patronizing their sight forever, until that yoke is broken. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
Now, it's the same thing with money. Just like there is sexual lust, there is lust for money. It never satisfies. The person will spend all their life pursuing more, until they go 6 feet below. Until they go to the grave. And who is behind it? Mammon, the god of money, demonic demon spirit. Is a lust for money, brings trouble, nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith, completely live, regret it bitterly ever after. Praise God. Are you learning something?
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. It is the will of God for you to have money and plenty of money. 3 John verse 2. I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper. And be in what? Good health. Even as what? Your soul prospereth. So God wants you to prosper spiritually. Prosper in your body. Bodily health. Bodily prosperity is health. God wants you to be healthy. Then the first one. Is physical prosperity, as in material and financial prosperity. Am I communicating? Now, you see dimensions of prosperity here. The first one is physical or material financial prosperity. The second one is bodily prosperity. That's health, being good health. Good health, it means that you are prosperous in your body, bodily prosperity. Then, the prosperity of your soul is talking of spiritual prosperity, mental prosperity, emotional prosperity, psychological, every component of your soul. Am I communicating? Holistic prosperity is the will of God. God wants you to do well. And then Genesis 13:2. Okay? It is the will of God for you to have money, but it is Satan's will for money to have you. The two are not the same. How do we know money has you? Is when you start loving the money, you start putting your faith and trust in the money instead of in God. You start loving money instead of loving God. You start putting your faith and trust in money instead of putting it in God. You are now greedy, you are covetous, you cannot give, You can't honor God with your tithe. You can't give, you know, as in, is it Aradite? How do they say it in Igbo? Akagom. You are like that. That means money has gripped you. You're under the tight grip of Mammon. You're under the tight grip, under the hold of Mammon. That's Satan's will. God's will is for you to have money and material possessions. Satan's will is for money and material things to have you. As in, you have come under the controlling influence of those things, sponsored by Mammon. That's Satan's will. Say with me, not me. Exempt yourself from it. Okay? Look at Abraham, our covenant father. And the Bible says Abraham is the father of us all in the New Testament. He said, look unto Abraham, your father. Okay, let's look unto our Abraham, our father. Was he poor? Let's analyze. Abraham was what? He didn't even say he was rich. Very rich. Super rich. In what? In cattle. In what? In silver. And what? Watch this. Abraham had both wealth and riches. Let me explain. There's a difference between wealth and riches. They are not the same, but they are related. Watch this. Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Remember, he was a businessman, right? He was into cattle ranching and all of that. Now, how do you differentiate a just rich person from a wealthy person? The rich person may have money and all those material possession and all of that, but you know a wealthy person by the asset they have. Am I communicating? The asset they have, as in those assets produces money for them even when they are sleeping. Even their sleep has monetary value.
Hey.
You know, there are people that make money in their sleep. Why some of you demons are chasing you? Some people are making money in their sleep. That's a wealthy person. Why? Because they have so much assets that is producing money. Okay. Now, Facebook. As I'm talking, some people are even doing Facebook. Is Mark Zuckerberg not making money? Do you know how much he makes per day? Do you know how many billion people are on Facebook? He's not just rich, he's wealthy. He has created a social, an application for social interaction that has become a global phenomenon. Over 4 point something billion of the world population are on Facebook. Almost every company is now doing advert on Facebook. Are you seeing something?
Yes, sir.
Every time you go on Facebook, every time you download Facebook, the guy is smiling. Money is entering his account. All those companies doing advert on Facebook, the guy is smiling. And he has acquired WhatsApp. He has acquired which one again? Instagram. Thread. So wealthy people have so much asset that keeps perpetuating their riches, as in, so watch this. Abraham did not just have silver and gold. Just having silver and gold is akin to having riches, money and material possession. But watch this. He has cattle. The wealth is cattle here. The cattle is the means of production. Am I communicating? Cattle those days are serious asset in business. The cattle will produce milk. The cattle can be sold for meat. Even the manure that comes from the cattle, you can sell it for profit. Is that not organic? What do they call it? Green manure, organic fertilizer. So the cattle is an asset that produces riches for him. So Abraham was both rich and wealthy. That's what this scripture is saying. A translation says he was extremely rich. He took wealth to the extreme. Abraham took wealth to the extreme. Why are you thinking of taking poverty to the extreme? The Bible says, look unto Abraham your father. Look at his life. He had 318 trained servants in his house, feeding them. Not to talk of untrained servants. Are you getting my point? Look unto Abraham your father. Even if your earthly father was broke, look unto all this one. Am I communicating? In the New Testament, the Bible says Abraham is the father of us all. Learn from him. Follow his wisdom. Praise God. Are you learning something? See, don't allow anybody to confuse you. Poverty can never be the will of God. It has never been and will never be. Even heaven, the streets are paved with gold. Listen, the throne that God sits upon is pure gold. In fact, even the tabernacle that God told Moses to make, almost all the major things there are made of gold. That's to tell you how much God hates poverty. Am I communicating? Go and study the construction of the tabernacle and see how much gold was lavished. Look at the temple of Solomon. The magnificent temple of Solomon. The kind of splendor and wealth. Look at the steps and staircase and the lion. Even the throne, all pure gold. Solomon so commonized gold in his time that the Bible says even the value of silver was devalued. Silver was accounted silver medal that they give second best to his sport. It was of no value in the days of Solomon. Praise God. You see, one of the worst things that can happen to you is to grow up with a poverty mentality. You must do everything to reprogram that thing out of your life. Am I communicating? See, research shows that if you were born into a poor family, you are already at risk of having a poverty mentality. Because from your childhood, you grew up seeing poverty all around. All you were exposed to is poverty. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
All you were exposed to. Your brain, the thing have entered your subconscious mind. You understand?
Yes, sir.
You saw how your father will give 100 naira for soup. And then later he will be complaining, where is the change? All those things, something is being programmed into you. You may not know until you grow. Are you getting me? Tell your neighbor, you need to change that program. Use the word of God, chronic meditation, couple with some tongues, get the right messages, get new mentors. Financial mentors. You see, you do everything to scatter the cassette. Reprogram your mind in line with the word of God. Have a wealth mentality, not a poverty mentality. Because it affects people's thinking. It's a terrible thing. One major difference between the rich and the poor is their mindset, how they think. Praise God. It is said that somebody born into a rich family has a higher chance of becoming rich compared to the one born into a poor family. It's not necessarily because of the inheritance that the rich parent will pass to their children. What gives them the advantage is the exposure and what it does to their mindset. When somebody grows up in a rich family, he is exposed to wealth, he is exposed to riches. So it programs his mind to be financially successful. All he needs to do is to apply those principles. Compared to the one that grew up in a poor family, grew up in poverty, in penury, that one has plenty work to do. He needs to change his mindset. He needs to change it. If we ever break the clutches of poverty and come out of it, he needs to change his mindset. That's why the Bible says, be ye transformed by the what?
Renewing
of your mind. Some of you need to change where you are living. Change your location. Yes, you need to change it. Don't be thinking of the rent. Don't worry. See, how do I explain this thing? Mentality affects destiny. Mentality. It affects destiny. It will affect your mindset. It matters the kind of programs that are entering there. Praise God. It matters. You must intentionally, some of you need to go and look for the best hotel in Jos or best restaurant. Enter, sit down there. Don't be scared by the price. If they bring the waiter bring their, don't be scared. Even if they say Coke is 5,000, sit down, stay put. Order for water. Swan water, at least you should be able to buy that one. Even if they say it's 3,000, no problem. Just sit down there and be sipping it. Don't rush it. Take time. Just be. You need that kind of exposure. The environment is doing something to your mindset. Look for the best hotel. Spend one night there. It will pay you financially. You look as if you are wasting the money. Don't worry. What is doing to your mindset is more important than the money. And by the time you get the right program, you will have much more money than this one. So calm down. Vex one day, take a flight. All this, every time you are entering bus to Lagos, your back will be paining you. They will have to give you massage. You have to take alabuku, take paracetamol and ibuprofen after 10 hours trip. Vex! Gather money and enter flight. The thing will pinch you. The first one is usually the hardest. No problem. Am I communicating? And if you are flying economy all the time, vex! Fly first class one day. Am I communicating? Vex, fly. Is there a difference? There is a big difference. Pastor Poju said, the day he made up his mind he will stop flying economy was one day. He said, he saw one little girl asking her mother. She was asking her mother. They are in the first class cabin. He said, why are some people behind the plane while we were in front? Then the mother said, those ones, they don't have enough money. Those ones are poor. He said, this is the last time we fly economy. Praise God. See, you do everything to radically change your mindset. You need the right exposure. Am I communicating? You need the right exposure. See, sometimes you will not know the effect and the damage of what poverty mentality has done until you change environment. I'm telling you, until you change environment and you go to a better place and you stay there. You know, I was talking with Dr. Ghana when he flew into Nigeria, came back from UK, from Mina. He was to come to Jos. And then he said, it's a man of God. People are suffering here. See, change of environment is good. The right exposure is good. See, we don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. Through the lens or prism of our mindset. And your mindset can be rightly or wrongly programmed depending on the exposure over time, the words you keep hearing, the pictures you keep seeing, the words of authority figures. Am I communicating? This is very important.
Wallahi, this is very important. Even if I stop, yes, honestly, I'm happy. This mindset thing, some of us need to be radical. You need to scatter some cassettes. All those mentality of shortage, scarcity. If you ask your parents school fees, your school fees is 150,000. They give you 129,000. They say manage. And you managed. You also got the remaining one, completed it. Now, they are trying their best. You can't blame them. But the issue is, that thing is programming manage into your mindset. And it's not this manage of financial management, though. It's the manage of scarcity. Scarcity mentality. Instead of abundance mentality. Praise God. Abundance is God's will for you. Don't be conformed to the poverty in this world. You know, I was checking research. I was so surprised and stunned. I saw that only 1% of the world population are truly rich. One. What? 99% of world population are poor. An average, only 1% are truly rich. Don't be conformed to the poverty that is in this world. Be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? Use the word of God. Hallelujah. I said, because of God's love, He wants you to have money and plenty of it. But He doesn't want money to have you or control you. God doesn't want you to come under the controlling influence of mammon. Okay? There is a big difference between kingdom wealth and worldly wealth. Okay? Kingdom wealth is different from worldly wealth. The way, that's the means and method by which the wealth is gotten, and then the purpose, that's the intent for the wealth, is what differentiates the two. Look up. This is what I'm trying to explain. There's a difference between kingdom wealth and worldly wealth. What's the difference? Two things. Number one, the way you get the wealth, the way you acquire it. The means or method is not the same. The wealth of the world, they have their own method. Am I communicating? Usually on scriptural methods. Some are even demonic. But we apply the principles of the kingdom. That's why it's called kingdom wealth. So the way by which the wealth is gotten is one difference. The second difference is the purpose for the wealth. For the people of the world, they acquire the hip-hop they gather. It's more of materialism. But for us, as beloved kingdom citizens, the purpose of our wealth is what? Kingdom purpose. To advance and establish the kingdom. Am I communicating? Look up. Everybody. There is nobody in his right mind that doesn't want to have money on this world. Everybody wants to have money. The real question is why. The real question is, why do you want what you want? Why do you want to make money? And why is talking of the purpose. And this is what differentiates kingdom wealth from worldly wealth. Our own wealth is prosperity with a purpose, which is what? Kingdom. Wealth or money on a mission. Our money as believers is on a mission. Which mission? Kingdom.
Yes, sir.
To form, God has a kingdom agenda. That's why He prospers His children. But for the people of the world, it's materialism.
They want to acquire hip hop, use the money to oppress people, their father. Range Rover Sport, climb on top. Put plate number. IDB. You know IDB? I don't blow. That's the plate number. They will stand on top. Phantom Rolls Royce. Their father. He will snap picture. Put them on Instagram. Do video. Show off. Self-aggrandizement. That's how worldly wealth is. You need to understand that we in the kingdom, we are different. Am I communicating? We are different. We don't get wealth for show off or for self-aggrandizement. No. It's for kingdom purpose. Praise God. Some people even change their name. They say E-Money. Hey. E-Money. Thank God EFCC is now arresting all those anyhow spraying. You see them in club, pack the team. That's the people of the world. We don't do like that. I say we don't do like that. We don't do like that. Okay? Our own is what? Prosperity with what? A purpose. Money is what? With what? Money is on a mission. I'm teaching you this because you are going to be very rich and wealthy. You are going to be billionaires, in fact, trillionaires. So I have to teach you correctly. I have to teach you. So that tomorrow you are not using your money for the wrong purpose. Praise God. For us in the kingdom, we use our money to push kingdom business. Okay? This differentiates kingdom wealth from materialism. Now listen to this. Both poverty and the prosperity of fools can destroy. What is the prosperity of fools? Who is a fool? Someone that lacks wisdom. So if you give financial prosperity to a fool, someone that lacks wisdom, that money can destroy the person. The wealth can destroy. Look at Proverbs 1:32. You know, Proverbs 1:32. Watch this. It says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools," somebody bankrupt of wisdom, "shall destroy them." So don't be a fool. Understand God's purpose for your wealth. Praise God. Then Proverbs 10:15, poverty too can destroy. I say both the prosperity of fools and poverty can destroy. The rich man's wealth is a strong city. The destruction of the poor is what? Their poverty. Say, I refuse to be poor. See, stop romancing poverty. It is destruction. Look at it there. Say, it can destroy. Poverty is on a mission to kill you. Okay? So stop tolerating it. Kill it before it kills you. Okay? Prosperity of fools destroys. Poverty destroys. Now, very fast, why does God bless his children financially? Give me Genesis 1 to 3. Why does God bless his children financially? Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Number 1. Okay, let's read the scripture. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, "Get out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee." Verse 2. "And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So we are blessed to be a blessing. Say it again. We are blessed to be a blessing. To be a blessing first to the kingdom of God. To be a blessing next to humanity, the needy world. Am I communicating? And then for us to live comfortable lives. Because it is easier to serve God in comfort without all those distracting financial and material needs. Not that you are praying and then landlord is calling you that you've not paid house rent. You know how distracting those needs can be? You are praying, that is when they are calling you from your children's school that you've not paid school fees. All those distracting needs, distracting material and financial, God wants you to be comfortable. God wants you to be comfortable. So he said, I will make you a blessing, verse 3, and then he said, in you I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curseth you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God wants you to be a blessing to all families, all nations of the earth. Hallelujah. So the number one reason God blesses his children financially is for kingdom advancement and establishment on earth, to advance and establish his kingdom. Zechariah 1:17, he said, cry yet, saying that through prosperity, not poverty, my cities shall be spread abroad. Okay? The God ordained method and formula for spreading the gospel is through the prosperity of the saint, economic empowerment of the saint. Kingdom advancement and establishment, soul winning, crusades, mission, outreaches, building of God's house, church buildings, structures, facilities, programs, conferences, media ministry, etc. They are highly capital intensive. Highly capital intensive. They require a lot of resources. Am I communicating? Fulfilling God's program and vision on earth requires money, requires resources. That is why God prospers his children. That is why God blesses them, so that they can be a blessing to his kingdom. Am I communicating? In Haggai 1:1-15, you will see where Prophet Haggai complained there that the people of his time were living in their well-sealed houses. They had built their houses, they were living comfortably, but they left the house of God in ruin. The house of God was there, there's a lying, devastated, destroyed, desolate. God spoke through the prophet. He said, consider your ways and then go, arise, build my house. Okay? And then, thank God they repented and they did the right thing. So God prosper you so that you will build his house. God prospers you so that you will build his house. God transferred the wealth of Egypt to his covenant children, the children of Israel. They were in the wilderness. They had the silver, they had the gold, but there was nowhere to spend the money. There was nothing to buy. They didn't need to use the money for any personal thing. They needed water. God brought water out of the rock for them to drink. They were supernaturally provided for. God supplied all their needs according to his riches in glory. They needed food. God rained down manna for 40 days for them to eat. They got tired of manna. They needed quail. God blew quails in abundance. Everything they needed. Their clothes did not wax old. It was supernaturally renewed. Their clothes and shoes grew with their body. That is a miracle on its own. God went before them in a pillar of cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night, provided security, maximum security, more than even FBI and CIA. The Shekinah glory was their defense. So, what's the essence of the silver and gold he transferred to them then? If God was meeting all their need, it was in Exodus 25. God needed Moses to build the tabernacle. God then spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel that they give for the building of the tabernacle. And they gave and gave and gave. In Exodus 36, that Moses needed to announce that, we have more than enough. Stop giving. I'm looking for that day. We'll stop collecting offering. Praise God. The Bible said the stuff that they had was enough and too much. That's abundance for the construction of the tabernacle. This is the main reason God prospers his children. But the problem is that many believers have not been trained. Listen. Stop putting your needs first. Ask yourself, does God have a need? Yes. What is his need? To advance his kingdom. To see that souls are saved. To see that his kingdom is established. So think of God's kingdom first. Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek your needs first. God knows you have needs. All those pressing needs, he knows. See, your prosperity is a function of your priority in the kingdom. Prioritize God and his kingdom agenda first. Put God first in your finances. Do you want to prosper God's way and command kingdom wealth? Put God first in your finances. See, when money enters your hand, the first thing you should think is not your needs. No matter how pressing or biting those needs are, think of God first. Think of his kingdom. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Honor God first. Think of your tithe. Think of your offering. Think of your partnership. Think of kingdom first. This is a challenge with many believers. They don't put God first. They only remember God when the money has almost finished. They will service every other need, pressing need. They will leave God last. That if there is any change remain, they will say, I never pay tithe. I hope you know tithing is about honor. It's not just any 10%. It's the first of the 10%. It's about honor. The first of the 10% of your increase. In other words, before you any other thing, honor God with a tithe. Think of him first. He said, seek first the kingdom. This is how it is done. You will build churches. Amen. You will sponsor crusades. Amen. GICC last year, we spent, the budget was in how many million? 4.something million. Just to be a blessing, just to win souls, just to preach the gospel. We were spending in millions. See, kingdom things are capital intensive. We are on Avalanche of Good News broadcast. You are hearing the glorious testimony. How I was so touched by that testimony of that man that was delivered from suicide. Imagine if we were not there. Imagine if we are not reaching out with the gospel. But these things require money. Require money. Put your money into the kingdom business. Put your money. It's the most profitable investment. I know people invest in stock exchange, in real estate, in this one, stocks and bond. But have you ever thought of investing in the kingdom? Jesus said it yields the highest return. 100-fold return. In fact, before investing in the business and all this physical investment, make sure you have invested in the kingdom. Because there is no security for all this other investment in the physical if you don't have rich investment in the kingdom. Do you know why Jesus called the rich fool? In Luke 12, remember the story of the rich fool? Why was he called rich fool? Why did Jesus call him a fool? Because he was thinking of I, me and myself. He was not thinking of God and his kingdom. He says, so is everyone that gathers heap up for himself and is not rich towards God. Is not rich towards God. That's the problem. Don't be a rich fool. I say, don't be a rich fool. Prioritize God's kingdom, even above your needs. And also, when we say kingdom, that includes your family. Your family too is part of the kingdom. Say amen.
Yeah.
If you are born again, your wife is born again, your children are sanctified, are they not part of the kingdom?
Sure.
So don't neglect your family. It's part of it too. Am I communicating?
Sure.
Don't neglect your family. Take care of your family. That's one of the reasons God blesses you. You know, some people are very greedy to their spouse. They are very greedy to their husband and wife, even to their children. But they are very generous in church. Does it make sense? Your family is part of the kingdom. In fact, your family is the first church that you should be generous. They say charity begins at home. Okay? So don't neglect your family, okay? Praise God. Provide for your family. Take care of your wife. Take care of your husband, as the case may be. Some women are very funny. Their husband's money is our money, but their own money is my money. They will even hide it. Some have even built a house through their savings and investment. The husband is not aware. I heard one story like that even the house they were staying as a tenant, the wife is the real landlord. The husband did not know. And they were suffering to pay house rent. She hid it from her husband. The man is struggling. Pay children's school fee. Pay this one. Until one day the husband found out. He was very disappointed. Trust was broken. He was even angry. All this while. Don't be like that, oh. So let me balance it. The other balance is some people that don't allow their spouse to give towards God's work. The husband is led to give towards the kingdom. The wife is shouting. Are we going to survive? See, don't be the person that is always stopping your spouse from giving towards God's work. No, don't be like that. Don't be like that. That's why some men, when they want to give self, they don't tell their wife. A man of God said, when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, he said he didn't discuss it with his wife. Because Sarah will have... She will say, Now I know that this my husband, he don't kolo. A child they waited for 25 years. He now say a voice spoke to him, who he claimed to be God, that he should carry the same son, Isaac, to go and sacrifice on one of the mountain Moriah. He said, now confirm, he don't kolo. She will have carried Isaac and run away. So Abraham didn't even discuss it with Isaac, because he knows she will never understand. He didn't discuss it with Sarah. He went. Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't discuss all those giving decisions with your wife. But if you notice your wife is always opposing, about do what Abraham do. I don't talk my own. wait. Let me balance it. The other way around too is true. There are some men, anytime their wife want to give towards God's work, give towards church, anything that has to do with kingdom, or even give to the man of God, they will never agree. I am the man of this house. I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. Even the Bible says you should submit to your husband. Submit the money. Is this the money you say you want to give to the man of God? You want to give towards avalanche of what? Avalanche of what? What's avalanche of good news? Every the money. Don't be like that kind of husband. No. Two of you should have a heart towards God's kingdom. You should have a heart towards God's kingdom. Praise God. Anytime I'm led to give and I discuss with my wife, she always agrees. Praise God. Don't be the reason why the blessing that is supposed to flow to the family will be blocked. So, to finance and fund, we need money to finance and fund the spread and propagation of the gospel globally. Okay, like I said, soul winning, crusade mission, building, church facilities, programs, conferences, media ministry, etc. They are highly financially demanding. They are highly capital intensive. That's why God empowers believers economically to promote and fulfill His vision, His program, and kingdom purpose on earth through the church. Money is a major tool for kingdom advancement. Money is an instrument for fulfilling God's dream, God's vision. Money is a powerful weapon for the forceful and rapid spread of the gospel of Christ. Money is a defense. Okay? It gives you, including the church, money is a defense for the body of Christ. Thank God they've stopped that saying, as poor as church rats. All the church rats have run away to probably mosque and in Buddhist temple and where again? Listen, the voice of a poor preacher, the voice of a poor church, the voice of a poor believer will be ignored in this wicked world that is under the influence of Mammon, where they only respect money. Okay? But money gives us a voice that must be heard. Money gives us a voice as the body of Christ. This is why God is decorating the end time church with wealth. Because the only thing the people of the world respect is money. Okay? They say money talks. Okay? So that's why God is empowering us. It gives us a voice that must be heard through every available media and platform. Glory to God. You see that in Ecclesiastes 9:13-16. You see the voice of that poor man that used his wisdom to deliver that city. His voice was not heard. Okay. The availability of abundant resources facilitates the successful kingdom takeover operations on earth. Availability of financial resources, material resources, facilitates kingdom takeover operation. Number two, God wants to bless you financially so that you will be a blessing to humanity. So that you can touch the lives of the poor and the needy. So that you can impact lives, touch lives, impact and influence people positively for Jesus. Praise God. All those people that are always calling you to ask for money, this is part of the reason God blesses you. So that you will touch their lives. There are so many orphans, widows, so many poor people. I told you 99% of the world population are poor. Who will help them? Listen, you cannot help the poor if you yourself choose to be poor. You can't help anybody when you are at the same level. You need to go up. Am I communicating? It was John D. Rockefeller. He was from a poor family. He was so, his family was so poor that they struggled to feed. He started as an entrepreneur when he was still in high school. He was selling candies and all of that. Started as a businessman right when he was young. He pushed his way and then he became so rich. At a point he was controlling 90% of the oil in America, CEO, as the CEO of Standard Oil. At a point he was richer than America. He was richer than the economy of US. He was the first dollar billionaire in America. The first dollar billionaire. They were asking him, why do you give so much to church and God's work? He said, God gave me my money in the first place. Yes, was a very faithful tither. He built churches and even a university. He said, God gave me my money in the first place. And then some people were trying to guilt trip him, make him feel guilty for being this rich. And then he now explained to them that you people will not understand. He said, I grew up in poverty. I saw the horrors of poverty. And then I saw how people were suffering. And then he said, my conscience told me to make money. And then my conscience told me to make more money. And then my conscience told me to make more money. And then my conscience told me multiply it. And that was how he became who he was. He said, because you cannot help the poor if you are poor, you see. So motivation is very important. In the name of Jesus, you will feed the hungry, you will clothe the naked. Are you aware hunger and famine? Hunger, starvation is killing more children in Africa than HIV and malaria. Are you aware? Who will help them? Say me. The third reason why God wants you to be blessed financially is so that you will live a comfortable life, so that you will serve God comfortably and conveniently without the distractions that come from financial and material needs. Imagine you are in church, the person you are owing money is giving you 10 missed calls. You are no longer concentrating. In fact, by the, a call first time, second time, your mind have left the service. You are bothered how to pay back that debt. God doesn't want all of that. Am I communicating? You are worshiping God. Oh Lord, my God. That is where Satan will come. You see, you know that you've not paid your rent. You've not paid school fees. And you know your father doesn't have money to give you. And then that is how your prayer ended and worship. Somebody say distractions. You can be rich and righteous. I've said that. You can be comfortable. You can live a glorious life. Write this down. Three necessary foundations for wisdom for wealth. Three necessary foundation for wisdom for wealth. Number one, the love of God. The love of God. The love of God. Number two, the fear of God. The fear of God. These are necessary foundations that must be in place. If you want to assess wisdom for wealth, you must love God. One, two, you must fear God. Number three, must have absolute faith and trust in God. Absolute faith. Write it like that too. Absolute faith and trust in God as your one and only source and supply system. You must make and see God as your one and only source. Human beings are channels. Government, channels. Jobs, channels. Business, channels. Career, channels. Stop confusing your channel for your source. God is your one and only source. Men and means of getting money are channels. That business is a channel. That your job is a channel. Am I communicating? Your parents, channels. Government, channels. God is your one and only source. Listen, channels may fail, but your source can never fail. Channels may dry up, but your source can never dry up. You may lose your job, but you've not lost your God. So your source is still intact. It's a business crashed. Your God has not crashed. Your source is still intact. Am I communicating? The journey of Solomon's wealth in 1 Kings 3 verse 3. How did it start? And Solomon loved the Lord. That was how the journey started. And that love moved him to give and to sacrifice. You know, there is no true love without giving. For God so loved the world that he shouted from heaven, "Humanity, I love you." Is that what the scripture said? That he gave. The proof of love is giving and sacrifice. Okay? So Solomon loved the Lord. That love motivated his giving. 1,000 burnt offering. God showed up at night in a dream. "Solomon, what do you want?" He said, "Give me wisdom." God gave him wisdom. He became super rich and wealthy. Can you see that? The love of God. The love of God. And I said the proof of love, number one, is giving and sacrifice. Next, obedience. The second proof of love for God is obedience. Obedience to his word, obedience to divine instructions, obedience to his principles, obedience to his commandment. Don't tell me to slow down, because I will be firing on now. Praise God. You get the message. When you love God, you will seek to serve God.
When you love God, you will worship Him, not money. When you love God, you will serve God, not mammon. When you love God, you will seek His kingdom first. When you love God, you will love the house of God. You will love coming to church. When you love God, you will love people. You will love humanity. Listen, the love of God is your greatest insurance and protection against the influence of mammon. Yes, love for God. Because you cannot love God and love money at the same time. You cannot love God and mammon simultaneously. Just like you cannot serve God and mammon simultaneously. Am I communicating? Your loyalty must be to one. For us, we use our money to serve the God we love. Use your money to serve the God you love and His kingdom purpose. Praise God. I say the love of God is your greatest insurance and protection against the grip of mammon. And how do you know the influence of mammon? Greed. Mammon produces greed in people, selfishness, covetousness. The love of money is proudly sponsored by mammon. That's lust for money. Inordinate desire for money, gain, and material things without the dignity of kingdom integrity. The worship of mammon, that's worship of god of gold, idolatry, is sponsored by mammon. Trust in money too is due to influence of mammon. What is the protection against all of this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. Praise God. And let me say this. Another proof of love is service. Service. When God asked Solomon, "What do you want? Ask me anything." He said, "Give me what? Wisdom, so that I will be able to govern your people." So it was motivated by service. You know, love is the basis for kingdom service. Am I communicating? Solomon was not looking for wisdom to prove a point to anybody. It was to serve. Listen to what I'm about to say next. We in the kingdom as believers, we do business, but the primary motivation for our business is not just to make profit. No. It's service to humanity. Service to God and humanity. Listen. Profitability is good, is necessary, and it should be encouraged. But service must be at the very core of all that we do as believers. Whether it is business or career, don't just be doing that your job to make salary, to make money and make ends meet. Service should be the motivation. Service, love motivated service, to be a blessing to humanity. Solomon asks for wisdom so that he can serve the people better. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
If you love people, you will serve them. If politicians understand service, selfless service, they will not be there stealing money. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
This is very important. The fear of God. Job became the greatest man in the East. How? Because he feared God. He feared God. Job chapter 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. He feared God. Look at it. He feared God. Eschewed evil. Verse 2. Look at how wealthy he became. Okay, go to verse 3. You will see his wealth there. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses. Very great household. What was the foundation for his wealth? Fear of God. He could assess wisdom for wealth because he had the fear of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. He said the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. Look at it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of acquiring wisdom for wealth. And when we say the fear of God, we are talking about reverence for God, respect for God, honor for God. Am I communicating?
The fear of God is your greatest protection against the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. The fear of God will make you depart from evil. As a married man, the fear of God is what will make you not to commit adultery. The fear of God is what will make a married woman or a single lady not to sleep with her boss in office just because to keep her job, just because she's afraid of losing her job. No. Without the fear of God, people compromise. Praise God. Even corruption, what is the cure? The fear of God. Look at Joseph. Joseph became successful. Why? Because he had the fear of God. Potiphar's wife offered herself on a platter of gold for him to sleep with her. But he said, I fear God. How can I do this wicked thing? The fear of God. How did he end up? He became prime minister in Egypt. Then I say, absolute trust in God. These three foundations, when it is in place, you easily assess what? Wisdom for wealth. Now, all Solomon's problem began when his love for God was tempered with. 1 Kings 11 from verse 1. Solomon started loving strange women. All the countries that God said he shouldn't marry from, he started marrying from them. The proof of love is obedience to God's commandment, but Solomon started breaking those commandments. He started his journey with what? And Solomon loved the Lord. But look at how the thing took another road. In 1 Kings 11, and Solomon loved men, many strange women. Protect your love for God. I say protect your love for God. This is the genesis of his problem. He lost the fear of God. He lost love for God. He started loving strange women. He lost the fear of God. Started breaking God's command. And that was it. He lost it. Even his wisdom towards the end was turned at some point into folly. If you read Ecclesiastes, you hear some of the things he started saying. The guy started to misyarn. Pidgin English parlance. He started to what? Misyarn. He started misyarning. Praise God. You will not understand until you read some part in Ecclesiastes. You understand what I'm saying? At that point, what filled his heart was love for other women. Praise God. Say with me, I receive grace to love God and to fear God. Now, write this down. What are the ways wisdom produces wealth and abundance? What are the ways? We are talking about wisdom for wealth and abundance. We've looked at the foundation. Now, what are the ways? I round up with this. What are the ways wisdom produces wealth and abundance? What are the ways? Number one, I was telling my wife, it was after JFM broadcast yesterday. My wife went to do something, so I was waiting for her to come. As I stood there, as if they opened my brain and downloaded it, the Holy Ghost gave me six. He told me there are seven ways wisdom produces wealth. But instanta, where I was standing, the thing just started coming. I needed to grab my journal and I wrote them 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. He gave me six, but he told me there are seven. So I started asking, what was the seventh one? It was when I woke up this morning, he gave me the seventh one. And that's what I want to give you now. Should I give you? Or I should leave it? Are you sure you want to hear? How wisdom produces wealth. When he says, you shall remember the Lord your God in Deuteronomy 8:18, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. The power there is talking of ability to create wealth, ability to produce wealth. And the blessing is a divine empowerment, and wisdom is a major manifestation of the blessing. So wisdom will establish you in your wealthy place. Number one, the number one way wisdom produces wealth and abundance is through
the flow of revelation and understanding. The flow of revelation and understanding. In Genesis 29 verse 3, you will see how Job became the greatest and richest man in the East by what? Because the secrets of God. You know, when we say revelation and understanding, we are talking about insight into mysteries and secrets concerning wealth and abundance. Wisdom will give you revelation that will crack the code for kingdom wealth and abundance. Am I communicating? Job was trading divine secrets. You know, every great business have trade secrets. Coca-Cola, till today, we don't know the real ingredient. So you cannot counterfeit it. You don't know the real ingredient. It's part of their trade secret. Some people try to do, they produce Pepsi. He said, when his candle shine upon my head? He said, both of them are black. But if it is not Coke, it is not Coke. When you taste it, you know the difference. He said, when his candle shine upon my head, revelation, illumination. When by his light I walk through the darkness of poverty, the darkness of this world. Next verse. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God, he had access to the secret of God. The secret of God that produces wealth and abundance. Somebody say revelation. The spirit of wisdom will give you revelation, insight into mysteries and secrets. Was upon my tabernacle. Hi! The secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Next verse. It says, when the Almighty was here with me, my children were about me. Next verse. He said, when I wash my steps with butter and the rock pour me what? Pour me out rivers of oil. Somebody say abundance. Hi. Revelation and understanding. Understanding talks of financial intelligence. Understanding of how to make money. Wisdom will give you understanding of how to make money, how to manage money, how to multiply money. Wisdom will impart to you financial intelligence. Am I communicating? Financial intelligence. Wisdom will give you that. Malagaba. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that he will grant you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. Insight into mysteries and secrets. Proverbs 1:21, the spirit of wisdom speaking, he says, turn ye at my reproof, I will pour my spirit upon you and make known, that's revelation, and make known my words unto you. Can you shout amen? Amen. Genesis 31 verse 10. How did he become rich and wealthy? He worked for Laban. 10 times Laban swindled him and exchanged his wages. Laban alone was prospering and Laban's business, and the blessing was on Jacob. He was the one that brought the blessing, but he himself was poor and beggarly, until an angel of the Lord, watch this, this was how he prospered financially and became rich and wealthy. It came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes, this is Jacob speaking, and saw in a dream. Hey, God will show you things in your dream, oh. God will show you things in your dream, oh. Have I told you that the founder of periodic table, this periodic table in chemistry that they use, Dmitri Mendeleev, the founder of periodic table, it was in a dream that it was revealed to him. He saw those elements and he saw even the symbol in a dream. When he woke up, he started arranging them. Dmitri Mendeleev. I told you that Albert Einstein's theory of relativity was revealed to him in a dream of the night. Aya. Kabarito Borokoto. The guy that discovered insulin, Frederick Banting. It was in a dream. Frederick Banting
discovered insulin, he saw how it was being isolated, and now he can use it to help humanity by curing diabetes. It was in a dream. He received it. Somebody said divine download. I told you about George Washington Carver, who God revealed to him 324 inventions from what? Peanut. This peanut that you eat. 324 product invention, George Washington Carver. 100 product from sweet potato, George Washington Carver. Who gave him wisdom? Somebody say God. Do you know this sand that you are matching every day? There is wealth in the sand. Allow wisdom to guide you. Allow wisdom to show you something. Am I communicating? Somebody say revelation. Somebody say understanding. I told you about R.G. Letonio. You can read about him in his autobiography, Movers of Men and Mountains. R.G. Letonio was a faithful titer, solid believer. And Robert asked him how he was able to invent those earth-moving equipment. Today, we call them bulldozers and tractors, all those things. It was in a vision that God showed him those things. He saw them. He drilled them. He didn't know what it was, but he drilled those things. And this man didn't go to school. He's uneducated. He now called engineers that went to school. He said they should design this drawing, this earth-moving equipment he saw. God revealed those things to him. He said they should design something exactly like this. And when they designed it, that was how he started his company. His company also made tires, these tires, and some wheels like that. It is said that 70% of all these earth-moving equipment and these things they used to fight World War II, it was his company that supplied those vehicles. And then they asked him, because he believed that it was because he was a titer that those visions concerning the earth-moving equipment was coming to him. They asked him that, how are you sure that it was a titan? Look at what he said. He said he notices that when he stops titing, he stops receiving those ideas. Those visions stop coming, or they become obscure. But the moment he becomes serious again and faithful with titing, they keep coming. Now, let me correct one impression very fast. You know, most of the times, when we tithe, God say, I will open the windows of heaven. Many believers think God will open window and rain dollars, and rain pound sterling, and rain Nigerian naira. There is no CBN in heaven that prints money. Listen, the blessing that God rains upon us in response to our tithing and giving, they are primarily immaterial in nature. They are there in form of wisdom. Wisdom for what? Divine ideas. Wisdom for concept and insight. One idea can make you a billionaire. Am I communicating? See, ideas, concept and insight, they have more value than physical money. Am I communicating? Are you learning something? I have to round up. But understand the point I'm making. The major returns on our tithing and giving is not anything material. The material returns, the material harvest, the financial harvest, they are the fringe benefits. The real harvest comes in form of wisdom. They come in form of concept, insight, and divine ideas from the Holy Spirit. They come in form of favor. They come in form of protection. They come in form of direction, instruction. They are immaterial. So because some people get offended, they say if I give, I will get 1,000 fold harvest. How come I gave 10,000? I didn't get, what's the 100 fold harvest from 10,000? 100 fold, 1,000 times 100. 1,000 times 100, mathematician. 100,000. Say, why didn't I get 100,000? Calm down. The main harvest is immaterial. It's in form of the wisdom God gives you. Ideas. Imagine if God had given Arjun Letonio financial harvest, will he have become a global name we are celebrating today? What God gave him was more than money. Because ideas rule the world. Even in the financial world, in business and all of that, they pay people heavily to generate ideas. Go and check all this telecom industry. One of the most highest paid people there are people that produce ideas for the company to increase their profit, for the company to be at the cutting edge. They pay them heavily. And guess what? The spirit of wisdom gives you those ideas. Am I communicating? So we need to understand that. The second way wisdom produces wealth is what? Creation of value and productivity. And creation of value and productivity will lead to wealth. Okay? I've talked about ideas, concept, and insights. This translates into valuable product and services. And your valuable product and services will solve problem, it will provide solution, and that will lead to financial reward. Okay? When the Bible says be fruitful, it also means be productive. Am I communicating? So wisdom will give you valuable ideas, valuable product. It will help you produce valuable product and services. And it gives you what? Supernatural skill. Give me Ecclesiastes 10:10, NIV version. Ecclesiastes 10:10, NIV. Value and productivity. Value talks of usefulness. Value talks about how much your product or service is needed in order to solve a problem. Value talks of problem solving ability. Value talks of solution providing ability. NIV, say if the axe is dull, its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed. But what? Skill brings what? Success, including financial success. All the kings of the earth sought audience with Solomon to hear his wisdom, because what? Wisdom made him highly valuable. Okay? And they came with their silver and their gold and all of that. Praise God. Solomon made money through trade and commerce. He made money through gifts that they gave him. He made money through what again? Royalties. He made money through honorariums. Solomon made money because he was a big time business mogul. He was trading valuable skills. He was trading valuable ideas. Trading valuable concept and insight. Say with me, I receive grace to be productive and to be valuable through the wisdom of God. Listen, wisdom makes you highly valuable. And the quality of the problem you solve determines the kind of reward you get. If you solve the problems of kings, you get the rewards of what? Kings. And that was what Solomon was doing. He was solving the problems of kings. Kings met him to solve their problem. The third way wisdom leads to wealth is through excellence. Somebody say excellence. Listen, the spirit of wisdom is the spirit of excellence. Write down Daniel 5:11-12. Then Daniel 6:3. The spirit of wisdom is the spirit of excellence. You must... Wisdom makes you extremely good at what you do. Wisdom makes you excellent and exceptional. And when you are excellent and exceptional, you attract the attention of kings and nobles. And therefore, you get their reward. Am I communicating? Excellence is the key to prominence. Excellence is the key to eminence. Excellence is the key to influence. Every time you increase your level of excellence, you increase your level of influence.
And excellence is key to perpetual relevance. Daniel 6:3, this Daniel was preferred above the president and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And guess what? The spirit of wisdom is a spirit of excellence. Wisdom makes you excellent. Praise God. Say with me, I have the spirit of excellence. I speak excellent words. I do excellent things. I do excellent work. Shun everything called mediocrity. Kings don't patronize mediocrity. It has to be excellent. And creativity is a manifestation of the spirit of excellence. Craftsmanship and creativity is a manifestation of the spirit of excellence. Witty invention is a manifestation of the spirit of excellence. Innovation, innovative ideas, they are all manifestation of what? The spirit of excellence. Number four. How does wisdom produce wealth and abundance? By giving you direction and guidance. Direction and guidance. Divine direction and divine guidance. He's talking of the leading of the Spirit. Ecclesiastes 10:10, the King James Version. He says, wisdom is profitable to direct. One of the profits of wisdom is what? Direction. Somebody say direction. The spirit of wisdom will guide you continually. Will pilot your affairs. You will not miss it. You will not make mistake. You will be divinely guided. Divine direction and guidance. Malaboko sefregedia. Hearing and heeding the voice of wisdom will make you rich and wealthy. Hearing and obeying the voice of wisdom will make you rich and wealthy. Wisdom gives you sound judgment and discernment in your decision making and in all your doings. Praise God. When you yield in obedience to the voice and leadings of the spirit of wisdom, you will become rich and you will become a wealthy person. Say with me, I receive grace to hear and to heed the voice and the leading of the spirit of wisdom. Proverbs 3:21. Wisdom speaking there. It says, Proverbs 3:21. It says, my son, let them not depart from thy eye. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Next verse. 22. It says, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. 23. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Next verse. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. He said, yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep will be sweet, because you are led by the spirit of wisdom. Next verse. 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Next verse. He said, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The last time you make a wrong move in your business, the last time you made a wrong decision in your investment, will be the last forever. Amen. From now henceforth, the spirit of wisdom will guide you. Amen. Will direct you. Isaiah 48:17. He said, I am the Lord thy God that teacheth thee to prosper and leadeth thee in the way thou shouldest go. He says, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit and which what? Lead, allow the spirit of wisdom to lead you. Then jump to 21. Look at this. He said, and they tested not when he led them through the desert, and caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock also, the waters gushed out. Can you shout amen? Amen. Number five, how does wisdom lead to wealth and abundance? Through prudent financial management, prudent money management. It makes you a shrewd and a faithful financial steward. Write down Luke 6:1-13. Go home and meditate on that. Luke 6:1-13. John chapter 10 to 12. Okay, John chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. John 6, 10 to 12. Luke 6, 1, 13. 2 Kings 4, 3 to 6. Prudent financial management. This talks about the wisdom of financial planning. Your savings. Hope you know that it was Joseph that invented the wisdom of savings in Egypt during those 7 years of famine. He was saving 20% of all the produce. Am I communicating? The wisdom of savings and also budgeting. Budgeting. Then next, the wisdom of making profitable financial investment. Profitable investments. And then accountability. Praise God. Don't spend money anyhow. Okay? Spend according to budget. It's not every suya joint you stop and buy suya. Some of you went to terminals to buy things. The money finished before you realize, I've not bought what I came to buy. Somebody say lack of planning. That's the problem. You didn't have a financial plan. You didn't budget. Before you go to the market, where is your list? You should write out your budget. Am I communicating? Wisdom makes you a shrewd or prudent financial steward of God's money and resources entrusted to you. It makes you a wise manager, a trustee, and a caretaker of God's money. Listen, you must recognize that the money in your hand is God's money in your custody. God is the original and the real owner of your money and all the resources. See yourself as a manager. See yourself as a caretaker. So you have to be faithful in handling God's money that was entrusted to you. God will not entrust money or kingdom wealth into your hands beyond your managerial capacity. So you must be a good manager. Because God hates mismanagement. Mismanagement and lack of financial discipline leads to waste and losses. Mismanagement and lack of financial discipline leads to what? Waste and losses. So you must bridle your appetite and your taste. Some of you, anything you see, you want to buy. Just because your friend bought new phone, you too, you want to buy a new phone. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, no be so. Avoid reckless spending. Avoid extravagant spending. Avoid prodigal living. Avoid lavish lifestyle. Avoid emotional buying, as in buying things, spending on impulse. Avoid those things. You see okpa, you buy. You see granite, you buy. You never finish chop that one. You see ECAU, you buy. Only you. No. Avoid those things. Don't be a reckless spender. And avoid a lifestyle of debt. If you are in debt already, trust God to come out. But make a decision that you will not enter again. You know, there's what we call lifestyle of debt. You know, there are some people that are, in fact, they are enjoying it. They are enjoying the life. They rob Peter to pay Paul. They borrow from somebody to pay another person they are owing. And when that person comes, they will now borrow from another person to pay that other person. And then now borrow from another person to stop. Praise God. Break the cycle. Financial order precedes financial increase. Financial order makes you a financial wonder in no time. Disorder leads to chaos. Disorganization leads to agony. Sam Adeyemi said, if you don't want to agonize again, then organize your life. Organize your finances, or else financial agony will not leave you. Number 6. How does wisdom produce wealth and abundance? Number 6. by giving you favor with God and men. Wisdom gives you favor with God and men. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Jesus first grew in wisdom before he grew in favor. So anytime you grow in wisdom, you also grow in favor. Look at it. Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus increased in wisdom and then in stature and in favor. Favor with God and men. Favor comes to you when you walk in wisdom. The force of favor, like a magnet, will attract and pull to you the much needed funds you need, the much needed resources you need, the much needed opportunities, connections, and so on. Wisdom produces favor, and favor is a wealth magnet. Am I communicating? And when favor is working, you enjoy unusual acceptance, you enjoy unusual kindness, and you enjoy unusual access to the heart and what? Treasures and resources of men, including the peculiar treasures of kings. In 1 Samuel 2:26, concerning Samuel, you see Samuel there, he grew in, watch this, 2:26, and the child grew on and was in what? Favor with what? With the Lord, and also with what? With men. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
And if you study the life of Samuel, you will realize he walked in the wisdom of God. Then the last one, number 7. Let's do a little recap. What are the 7 ways wisdom produces wealth? Number 1, wisdom gives you what? The flow of revelation and understanding. Number 2, creation of value and productivity. Number 3, excellence. Number 4, direction and wisdom and guidance. Number 5, prudent financial. A lot of you are guilty of this one. Number 5, prudent financial money management. Number 6, favor with God and men. Number 7, wisdom gives you the right and relevant relationships you need for wealth and abundance. Wisdom attracts the right and relevant relationships, advantageous connections, and strategic alliances. If you read the story of Solomon, you will realize that he has so much strategic alliances. Wisdom was pulling. The Queen of Sheba came from her country, brought gold and all of that, brought wealth. See, wisdom will bring destiny helpers your way. Wisdom will give you the wealth of men. The wealth of men and their resources. Am I communicating? Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. The companion of fools shall what? Be destroyed. If you walk with wise men, you will be wise. If you company with fools, you will be destroyed. In 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 34. 1 Kings 4:34. The Bible says, people from all walks of life, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth. Somebody say, right and relevant relationships, strategic alliances, advantageous connection. They came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, which God has put in his heart. Even kings came, which have heard of his wisdom. Then 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 23. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for what? For riches and for wisdom. Next verse 24. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his what? Wisdom, which God had what? put in his heart. Next verse. And they brought every man his present. Can you see? The wealth of men. They brought every man his present. Vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments, and armor, and spices, horses, mules. A rate year by year. Somebody say the right and relevant relationships. Rise to your feet. Destiny helpers are coming your way. As the wisdom of God rests upon you, an army of destiny helpers are rising for you. They will come from the north, they will come from the south, they will come from the east, or they come from the west, to help you, to favor you, to support you, to form that vision God has put in your heart. In the name of Jesus, I've given you what God delivered and downloaded to me. 7 ways wisdom produces wealth and abundance. I want you to cry out to God. The first one is the flow of revelation, understanding. Let the spirit of wisdom open your eyes. Listen, your wealth is not everywhere. It's not every business that will make you wealthy. Allow the wisdom of God to show you the kind of business you should go into, the kind of career where your money is hiding. Am I communicating? Malekobo Rakata. Job said, as I was in the days of my youth, the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. By his light I walked through the darkness. He was trading divine secrets from the spirit of wisdom, and he became the richest and the wealthiest man in the east in his time. Am I communicating? Jacob said in a dream of the night, he had suffered. Laban had cheated him. Laban had played him even more than the way Jacob played other people. Jacob deceived his brother, but he met Laban. Laban showed him Shege Promax until the angel of the Lord, in the night, opened his eyes and showed him how to breed cattle supernaturally. And when he woke up, he applied it, and struggling Jacob became exceedingly wealthy. Am I communicating? Allow God show you something. Say, cast your net on the right side and you shall find. There is what to do for your business to explode. There is what to do for you to shift from a thousandaire to a millionaire, from a millionaire to a billionaire. Allow the spirit of wisdom reveal to you those secrets. Wisdom will give you favor with God and men. Wisdom will give you, make you excellent. The spirit of excellence. No more mediocrity. No more failure. Daniel was preferred among others because an excellent spirit was in him. Balatosa. Unusual innovation. Unusual creativity. One idea the spirit of wisdom will give you, you will wave poverty bye-bye. Poverty will wave you back. Divine ideas, concept and insight. Creativity and innovation. Craftsmanship. Palatabakasaya. And wisdom will give you grace for prudent financial management. You will no longer be a waster. No more wastage. No more reckless spending. No more spending anyhow. The wisdom for investment. The wisdom to be a prudent manager of God's resources entrusted to you. Wisdom is profitable to direct. It will give you divine direction and guidance. It will show you what to do when you don't know what to do. Sound judgment and discernment. Kabali kabarakatai. Male bresko toskati lakapatai. Zebrendo koskata. Wisdom will make you highly valuable. It will make you highly valuable. It will make you productive. It will make you a world creator. It said, thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Wisdom will make you a problem solver. It will make you a provider. And money is a reward for solving problems. It will make you to be a skillful laborer. You become a creative worker. You become a creator, a producer, an innovator. He said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find out knowledge of witty invention. Witty invention. Breakthrough ideas. Concept and insight. I want you to cry out for a baptism of the spirit of wisdom for wealth. Wisdom for wealth and abundance. The reign of wisdom. The reign of the spirit of wisdom. An outpouring. The Bible says all the earth, they sought audience with Solomon to hear his wisdom. They sought audience. Kings came. The Queen of Sheba came. The right and relevant relationships, wisdom will bring them to you. Destiny helpers will come. Shabalabaradabakoso freketena. Alabatose belatena. Ilabakoso poleketeke brakatia. This is your master key to wealth and abundance. The wisdom of God is the producer of the wealth of God. It is wisdom that begat wealth. It is wisdom that begat wealth. Kambalando boroske prende ke brakatai. Isopolondo brakatai. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Wisdom is the power to get wealth. The ability. Wisdom gives you the ability to produce wealth. The ability to make money. To make wealth. To manage wealth. To multiply wealth. The wisdom of God. You can't be stranded. You can't remain poor and beggarly. In the name of Jesus. One last prayer. Ezekiel 28 verse 4. This is the kind of message you should listen to over and over and over again. And practice everything inside. Be a practitioner. I just gave you what God gave me. 7 ways wisdom produces wealth. Malika Balatia. This is the real jackpot. He said, with thy wisdom and thy understanding. He's talking to the prince of Tyros, which was a man, a physical king. He said, with thy wisdom and thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches. Can you see? And hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasure. How did he get riches, gold and silver? He said, with what? Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Wisdom is the principal. Give me verse 5. He said, by thy great wisdom and thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. That's one of the temptations of the rich, pride and arrogance. That's why I gave you those 3 necessary foundations. What are those 3 foundations for wisdom, for wealth? The love of God, 1. Fear of God, 2. Absolute what? Faith and trust in God. When you have those foundations, you will not fall victim of this temptation that comes with wealth from the spirit called mammon, which is pride, arrogance, love of money, greed, all those things. You won't fall this victim. But I want you to see that it was wisdom that produced his wealth and riches and even increased it. I want you to cry out
Father, baptize me. You see, when wisdom enters you, hey, even you will know. There is a way you will start thinking. It will not be the regular conventional thought. You will start thinking sanctified thoughts. Inspired ideas will start flowing to you. Divine concept and insight. Say, Father, I receive in the name of Jesus a fresh baptism of the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom for wealth and abundance. Cry out to God one last time. Shelebo Sebeletena. Manda Braska Pala Sudi. In the name of Jesus. All heads bow, all eyes closed. If you are in this place, I want to give you opportunity right now. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want to accept the free gift of eternal life that He has provided freely for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. You want to say, Jesus, I accept your sacrifice. I want you to come and meet me forward. If you are within this hall, come and meet me forward. If you are following online, just stand in front of the device you are using to stream this service. I want you to say this prayer. Believe it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. And on the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Salon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you. We'll be right back.